Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Pulling on a Heaven podcast. This is a special one. This is special to me. This is the ocean edition.
that's the title right there.
That's the title, the ocean edition. Why the ocean edition? Because I love the ocean and this is about me today. No, it's not about me today.
You have your ocean voice on, the ocean.
Well, actually, if I really was talking more like a surfer guy, like a Malibu surfer guy, you know.
Let's do that the whole time.
I think that's kind of the way I just normally talk, though.
And real loud, like you're out on a wave and you need to tell someone something on the shore.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. But, you know, we've been talking, you had one of the recent Sunday messages, you came up with some really great analogies for God and the presence of God and the appearances of God is related to the waters and the oceans. Okay. And again, I love the oceans. We've talked about this before a lot. And I grew up surfing. I'm from Malibu. I love traveling and visiting other places in the world. I'm so thankful for California. I'm so thankful for the words and of prophetic insight that you've spoken about California and God's hand upon it, because this really is my favorite place in the world. And I always come back to it. I couldn't live away from the beach. I mean, I don't live currently right on the beach, but you know,
but you're migrating.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there, God willing. But no, I love the ocean. I love, you know, one of the coolest things about surfing is you actually spend a lot of time surfing, not surfing. And by that, I mean, you spend a lot of time just sitting there waiting for waves. You're paddling out, and a lot of times, some days it's really good, and you actually want the waves to stop because there's so many coming. You're like, I got a break, or, you know, it's going to kill me. But other times, you're out there just hoping for one wave to come. And sometimes you're by yourself. I like to surf a lot by myself. I don't like surfing in crowds. I like to just be out there by myself. And to be immersed in the ocean, you know, the ocean itself is not God, but you sense the immersion of God when you're in that. And I love that feeling. And I feel such a closeness and oneness. And I know people can feel that in lots of different places. Everyone has their kind of places that they might particularly feel a special place. But I really love the ocean, and I love water, and I love being in it and around it. And I love surfing and riding it. And that's even a great analogy for a lot of stuff what we talk about, and the idea of waves coming in life and the turbulence and the troubles and everything like that. And you can either look at that as something that's coming to wash you away, or sometimes you get a board, you carve a tree, you make it into something and go, hey, I'm going to go learn to ride this. And I think that's a great analogy of where God ultimately wants us in our faith, that whatever comes our way, we're learning how to ride it and we're finding joy in it. Cause it's one of my, you know, to me, it's where I find so much joy, and my family, and I get to experience that with them too. And so I just love the ocean. That's a whole long-winded way of saying, thank you for having me here to talk about God, water, oceans, and how he surrounds us and presents himself to us all the time.
Oh, thank you, Steve, for, you know, you opened a really vast door there. The, you know, the ocean is a huge body of water. You know, it covers a large portion of the earth. I think it's like something like 71% of the earth's surface is covered by oceans. Yes. Or ocean, you know, which
many
is
oceans,
it?
But they're not really, are they?
No, there's really one body of water, and it, you know, it shows up in various different places and continents and whatnot. And you know, you have the Pacific and the Atlantic and the Arctic and the Indian and the Southern, and you know, they typically say it's broken into like five different areas where there's water, but it's all the same body of water. But we think of the ocean as oceans, you know, based on Pacific, Atlantic, Arctic, wherever it is. But it's one body of water, and it has such a great reference to me. God opened my eyes to something one day when he said, water is more than water. It becomes many things. And the Lord began to show me how water, when it is on a seed, and a seed soaks in the water, it becomes the seed. So water isn't just water anymore. Now it's part of the seed, and then it's part of the root, and then it's part of the twig or the tree or the branch or the fruit. So water becomes many things because it becomes one. It integrates itself. We're drinking water. So water is not just water out. Water is in a glass. And so now this is a glass of water. You know, it if it's in a, someone came up to me Sunday and said, "Oh, you missed one of the most important ones." He said, "Water is a coffee; it's a latte." I said, "You are right, but water is many things, and the Spirit of God takes on many forms, many glories, like water." You think about water. Water has such a great reference of the glory of God,
yeah,
because the entire earth was covered in the beginning, the Word tells us, by water.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters.
Yes.
And God said, you know, let there be a dividing of waters and land. And I have seen and believe very much so that there are a lot of treasures and mysteries, healing properties, a lot of secrets in the ocean, because it's estimated that we only know about or have actually investigated or mapped out about 20% of our ocean. And again, it said that we know more about the surface of the moon and Mars
than the sea
on the earth. And it's kind of like that. It's kind of like we ignore what's right in front of us, mm-hmm, to some degree, or are less aware of what is right there,
yeah,
when we're reaching. And listen, to know about the moon and Mars, I'm not, you know, whatever. You know, that's great.
Maybe God made all those too.
Yeah. How great to be able to look at the moon and see what's on it and Mars or whatever planet. Yeah. But the point is we end up knowing so much more about more distant things that are harder to reach,
yeah,
that are far in the distance. Wow. And God is so close to us, just like our own sea. I love the water too. I don't know how to surf. I think that would be pretty cool.
We'll do a live on location episode, right, Jonathan?
We should do that.
With surfing lessons.
Watch Gary fall off the board over and over.
I bet you get it. You get it instantly, I think.
Yeah. That's the greatest wave of my life. I love that. I have to use that.
That is. This is the wave that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in.
There you go.
See, we could go all day.
Oh, the analogies are endless. But the ocean in itself has mysteries and treasures, and one of the reasons I know that is because it was the body of the earth at one point.
Yeah.
I mean, it was everything. It was the circumference of the earth. The earth was engulfed in the sea, in the ocean, in the waters, and now it's receded back to the depressions that God created that, mm-hmm, it rests in. And if it's in a large depression, we'll call it a lake.
Right.
If it's in the massive depression, the largest one on the planet, we call it the ocean. If it's coming down from a mountain, we call it a stream. But it takes on so many different forms. So although water is the same, you know, there's two components to water. There's hydrogen and oxygen, H2O. But in reality, there's a trinity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about this when the Lord spoke that to me. I thought there has to be a trinity, although I know water is H2O. But hang on a minute. H2O, two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. So there's your trinity.
Yeah, there's
a trinity in atoms and everything else. It's so, because God is the creator of those things. So he's so present, his spirit, his mind, his idea, his creativity is in, of course, everything, because he made, mm-hmm, everything. But he's so very present. And when you start thinking about the oneness of the ocean, God is that one body. He's that ever-present one body that has many different glories, takes on many different forms. Now, the ocean becomes snow.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes rain. It becomes sleet. It becomes a lot of things. They say it's about 97% of the moisture that drops on us from the sky comes from the ocean. So there's this water distilling above us. There's another cloud of God's glory, you know, and it feeds the earth. But the great thing about water is it has life in it, but you don't really see that life in the water until it enters a vessel that it makes alive.
Wow.
And that's the Spirit of God. That's the presence of the Lord. That's the glory of God in us, in you and I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is so present. Just like the man said to Jesus, Philip said to Jesus, "So is the kingdom." He says, "It's inside of you, Philip. You're not aware because you're looking in the wrong place." And we tend to look in the distance for God. You know, something happens and God is far away. I don't feel the presence of the Lord. But his presence is in your mouth. Word of the Lord is nigh me, even in my mouth. You know, when you open your mouth and say, "God is ever present," the Lord is right here. Even if you don't feel it, your feelings don't always identify the true reality of what is. But the Word of God does. the Word of God always addresses reality. And the reality is His Word is always with us. He's always present with us, just like the ocean. He's one God, the only God, one Jesus, one Lord, one Savior, one Spirit, one Holy Spirit. But God takes on so many different glories that they're endless. Yeah. And if we would anticipate the glory of God, even in trying times, that whole experience transforms into something different. It's like Paul said, he said, don't be conned. Well, he said, actually, don't be conformed. I always use the word conned because it's like I'm being conned into something that isn't true because I listen to my own senses or someone said this is bad or this horrible thing is coming. But I take it like it says, the old King James says, be not conformed, but be transformed. Don't be conformed to the ideology, the world, to what you see, but be transformed. Like Job said, now my eyes see you. I've heard, but now I see you. He was seeing God from a different place on the inside of himself. And the ocean is that representative. It represents to me that same presence, that magnificent, glorious body of water that encompasses the globe, but takes on so many different forms. The glory of God in our lives takes on so many different forms that you can't just say water is an ocean.
Yeah.
But it is.
Right.
But it's not just an ocean. That isn't its finale. Nor is any one event of Jesus or of the Father. You know, the glass, this is now a glass of water. Well, it is, but it isn't the finale. You know, your coffee, your tea, the tree in your yard, you know, the fruit you're eating, the whatever it is, the river you were, the streams you were by, the rivers you fished in, the ocean that you surfed, it's like God because it came from God. Now, I'm not calling the ocean God. I'm saying it has the impression of that oneness, of that grandeur that takes on water in itself, takes on so many different forms. You can't say that water is just one thing, but it is. But it's so many forms.
I think it's funny. The thing that comes immediately in mind was the think of the fact of how important it is to recognize that and recognize that about God. And I think about Jesus's coming in the flesh in the first century in Israel and how they missed him because he didn't look like what they were looking for. And that how many times our own lives we're in circumstances and we want to call something that's happening, a trial or whatever, anything else, but God being in the midst of it.
Yeah.
But if we could recognize him, how much more can we endure? How much more can we actually succeed? How much more can what he puts in our path be used to empower us? I think if you didn't know that water, that ice was water, or a form of water, and you were suddenly found yourself up in the Arctic or whatever, then, and let's say, now you can't just eat ice strictly. You can actually, that's actually not safe if you don't
have
water.
What my wife says. Like that, you know? You can't eat ice.
Well, I like eating ice.
I know,
but
right?
I think you'll go dehydrated. I'm no expert on this. I think you'll go dehydrated, like if you just start eating snow if you don't have anything. But if you, let's say you had the ability to melt it down and turn it into water, your survival, you know, it's all around you, enough resources to support you. But if you don't know how to recognize that this is the same as this, that then it's never going to empower you. And so I think how many times in my own life have I missed God because I didn't know how to identify him?
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, you could be standing on a frozen stream, you know, thirsting to death.
Yes.
And if we are, of course, but if you weren't, okay, because we're not aware of a lot of spiritual realities.
Yeah.
And you weren't aware that it was a lake and you laid there and thirsted to death because you didn't realize, you know, you could
just punch through the stream
through
and
the
get
ice,
water.
Or you could lick the ice, or, you know,
whatever.
Put a match to it. You know, it's water. It's just a different form. It's a different image, if you will. It's a different glory of water, snow, the same thing, and different types of water. And it's God. It's the same thing with God. God is so present. If we would say what the Word says, all things, Romans 8:28, and just believe it, just honestly believe it, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, and then connect that with the scripture that says, you're with me always, you never leave or forsake me, and you will lead me in the way that I should go. If you'd look through that lens and realize, I know what I'm feeling, I know what I'm seeing, but I know the reality is not what it appears. God's word is true. That's what Jesus said. The word is true. It's yes. And in him, amen. In other words, this is what you really need to believe. And so you're going through something and you say, God, you're in the middle of this. I'm not going to blame the devil because he can't come near me because I am shielded by your glory and by your love. And I walk by faith and he doesn't have faith. I have faith that he doesn't have. So he can't go where I'm going because I'm living and walking by faith. And give God the glory and say, as the word says, in all things I'll bless the Lord. Like David said, David went as far as to say, though you slay me, yet will I serve you. So if we take on more of the mindset, the attitude, which is the reality of things, because God's word is true, and he said, all things work together for good, and say, God, you're in the midst of this, you're close to me, even though it feels like everything that is good is so distant from me, I know you're in it. What would have happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if they'd, you know, grabbed their heads and said, dear God, we're going in. God has left us, you know? But they didn't. They said, go ahead, throw us in. We know our God will deliver us. Yeah. We know that. But nonetheless, we're only going to worship God because we know God is God. So if this is our demise, then God is in it and God be glorified in it. And they got to see the wonder of God that they would never have seen had they surrendered, because it just seemed like God wasn't there. You know, there's a big old statue standing there about 10 feet tall, and all these people showing homage and bowing down, and the king threatening your life and in a really severe way. And they just say, God is in the midst of this.
Yeah.
God is in the midst of the fire. We have the same power. We have the same opportunity. And the thing is then you start seeing the reality of God's glory in those things. And some of the most trying times can open up some of the greatest, typically always do, open up the greatest doors of opportunity and bring you into that change. They're answers to prayers we've been praying, but we just don't look at it the way God wants us to see it. And we pray all the time, God, I know that you said you do exceeding abundantly above all I know to ask or think. But when God presents it to you beyond what we know to ask or think, because it isn't what we were looking for, we deny that he's in it, or worry or doubt that he's in it, and we lose the very prayer that we're praying of faith. You're going to show me greater things than I've ever seen, things I didn't even know to pray. You know, greater is he that is in me than all those things. They come through those trying times that then turn into not quite so trying a time. Imagine being thrown in a fire. Okay, that's pretty... Yeah. You know, that's pretty dicey right there. You're thrown in a fire. But imagine you're walking around going, man, you know, this is pretty awesome.
Doesn't that become like the coolest thing you've ever experienced in your entire life?
Then the king says to you, hey, boys, I see four walking around. I'm getting a little nervous here. Can you come out? And then I always like to imagine that they would say something like, yes, king, we can come out, but can you come in? And that's where God wants to position us, in a place of honor and power, where the world can say, hey, well, can you come out here and be with the rest of us? And we can say, we can. But the real question is can you come in here in this intimidating place and survive with us?
Yeah.
And the answer is, if you trust in the Lord, yes, you can. But someone has to be there and acknowledge that. So that is the greatest experience of your life. And we're always saying, this is the greatest season of your lives. And sometimes people have come to me and said, man, you know, I just don't see it. Right now, if you knew what I was going through, and I say, no, you don't understand. It's the fire, guys. It's the lion's den. I'm not saying this is the experience you asked for, but I'm saying God is going to be your greatest experience in this situation because he is the true reality of what you're experiencing. If you will look at him, you'll enjoy this moment. And if you don't, you're going to be terrified about something you never had to be afraid of because God is doing a new thing.
Wow. And that makes me bring the analogy full circle, brings me to think about something you'd been talking about even before as the year was ending up, and you'd been prophesying a lot about, you know, for some time now about the next coming 3 years being a season of purging, which means, you know, and how we deal with it is really how we're going to choose to deal with it. Right. But that means that we're probably going to face some things that we wouldn't normally choose to face or whatever. And something that you said, and here's the point of bringing it full circle, was you were talking about storms. So we go back to water. We're using this analogy of water and of God and God being in the storm, you know, but being the master over the storms. And you said, what we're always thinking about how are we going to get out of the storm? But what if the point of life is learning to live inside the storm?
Yeah.
And that to me was such a great perspective because again, that's like surfing dangerous waves. That's like being in the midst of something or being in a fire and not just going, wow, God delivered me from something. It's really God gave me a whole different way to look at something because if I knew I could hang out in a fire, I'd go, let's do this more often.
Right.
You know, it changes your whole approach to what goes on in life.
Yeah. And especially the perspective. Well, you know, the word says we through much trying of our faith, or you can use the word trials, depends on what.
Tribulations even.
Tribulations to enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So then the mindset can be, oh my gosh, I have to go through a lot. God help me. I'm going to have to go through a lot of really bad things. No, that's not what, listen to what he's saying. He says, I'm going to pull on your faith because your faith is the only thing that can reveal the grandeur that I have before you, the blessing, the honor, the favor, everything you've been hoping, anticipating, it's going to come. I mean, if you can do it, then do it now. And if you can't, doesn't that tell you something? Doesn't that tell you that it's just beyond where you are? I want to take you there. I want to take you where you can't go by yourself because that's really what you're asking for. That's really what you're hungry for. Trust me that I'll do that. And God did it with Moses. He did it with Noah. He did it with Abraham. He did it with Lot. He did it with Daniel. He did it with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he'll do it with us. But it's your perspective. The next 3 years, I say it like this, choose your reality. Either one of faith or fear, because it's going to be whatever you choose to believe. Because when God purges the threshing floor, and we all know it has to be purged, you know, you can call this an appearing of Christ. You can certainly pull it out of the Word.
Absolutely.
And I certainly see this. And I've been talking about it for a long time. Some people are not going to enjoy it. But if you have the heart and the perspective, God, you are Lord over all, and what you're doing, and I glorify you in it, is going to be the greatest experience and season of your life. Because who cares where you are if God's favor is with you in it, because only good can happen to me. I will dwell in the presence of the Lord. Why? Surely only goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Because I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever.
Yeah.
How good is God?
So good. So good. And how much would you guys like to see Pastor Gary and I on a world tour going to all the surf spots? We'll start a GoFundMe and we'll go. And by the end of it, he'll be like the greatest surfer in the world. And we'll just have even better ocean analogies. Yeah. So,
and maybe we'll have even better waves.
And maybe even better waves. Yes. There we go.
Because it's going to take a lot of faith for me to get out there.
So next week we'll be coming to you from Costa Rica.
Oh, now that might get me on the first wave.
There we go. Exactly. Well, thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Steve.
Always so good. Thank you so much for your heart, your ear to the Lord, and for just always revealing his purposes for us.
What a joy. Thank you, Steve. Till next time.
Yeah.